Ever had one of those mornings where you just dread the day ahead? I was reading about Sherry, and honestly, her alarm goes off and she's already overwhelmed by family, work, you name it.
Yeah, I felt for her right away. It's like before her feet even hit the floor, she's calculating how to juggle her kids, her job, her husband, and somehow herself in the mix, except that last part always slides to the bottom.
And the wild part is, she's not lazy at all. She's just constantly giving, and yet everything feels out of control. I kept thinking, how many of us relate to that?
So much of Sherry's struggle starts at home. Like, her mum drops by unexpectedly, and instead of saying, "I need to finish this costume," she just puts her own plans aside to play the good daughter.
I know. She tries to gently set a limit, but her mom instantly flips it back, making Sherry feel guilty. The emotional dance is so real she can't win, so she gives in, and then lies awake resenting it.
That really stuck out how guilt is a huge force in boundary problems. It's not just not wanting to hurt feelings. It's this deep-rooted fear of being selfish or disappointing someone.
That same pattern follows her to friendships. Right? Her friend Lois seems to always be in a crisis, and Sherry just absorbs it all, even when she's running on empty.
She's basically playing therapist without ever getting the same care back. I think a lot of people fall into that becoming the go-to fixer, but never getting their own needs considered.
It's exhausting, and she knows it's lopsided, but she feels guilty even noticing that resentment, like she's supposed to be endlessly generous. No matter the cost.
At work, the pattern's the same. Her boss drops a huge project on her last minute, and she just says, "Sure, happy to help." Meanwhile, inside, she's furious, but too afraid to set a firm line.
It's that dependable, reliable label haunting her. She feels like saying no would make her less valued or even unloved, not just at work, but everywhere.
That's a common trap. Believing that boundaries will cost us relationships or respect, when actually the opposite is true in the long run.
Funny you mention ripple effects. Sherry's kids pick up on her weak boundaries, too. When her son Todd acts out at school, even the teacher notices he can't handle limits.
That's so telling. The book points out, when parents can't set boundaries, their kids never learn how to respond to them. Which just sets up another generation struggling with the same thing.
It's like endless stress for everyone, instead of healthy, loving limits that actually help kids grow up secure.
What I noticed is, Sherry's whole day is a cycle she takes on everyone's problems, then beats herself up for feeling exhausted or resentful. It's a classic case of taking responsibility for things that aren't hers.
And then she feels guilty for wanting anything different. Or for even thinking about saying no. That's draining, emotionally and spiritually.
Absolutely. Her spiritual life even gets tangled up in it. She worries that setting boundaries might not be biblical, when really, the scripture is about healthy ownership of our lives.
So, let's talk about what real boundaries look like. The book gives that great analogy. Boundaries are like property lines. You're responsible for what's in your yard, but not for your neighbor's weeds.
Exactly. And I love the idea of fences with gates, not just walls. You can let the good in and keep the bad out. Boundaries aren't about isolation. They're about protection and wise openness.
And those property lines aren't just physical. They include emotions, beliefs, choices, even our time. Knowing what's ours gives us freedom and healthier relationships.
The authors get into the four big types of boundary issues. Compliance who can't say no, avoidance who can't ask for help, controllers who bulldoze others, and non-responsives who just tune people out.
I've definitely seen myself bounce between a couple of those, depending on the day. It's not just about saying yes or no. It's about how we relate. Sometimes we're too flexible, sometimes too closed off.
And honestly, sometimes those roles feed each other. The people pleaser attracts the controller, or vice versa, And the cycle keeps going until someone steps up and draws a line.
That actually reminds me, one of the biggest hurdles, especially for Christians, is the belief that boundaries are selfish or unloving. The book really tackles that myth head on.
Yeah. They point out that God himself has boundaries. He says yes and no. He sets limits, and he even lets us experience consequences. Boundaries are rooted in love, not selfishness.
It's freeing to realize that it's biblical to take ownership of your feelings, needs, and time, and to expect others to do the same.
Last week, we got stuck on how hard it is to change these patterns, especially if you never learned boundaries as a kid. But the authors show it's never too late to start repairing them.
Totally. They talk about how boundaries develop in childhood, things like bonding, learning to say no, and having your needs respected. But if you miss those steps, with support and practice, you can still grow new, healthier boundaries.
It takes work, and sometimes outside help, but it's worth it. The goal isn't just less stress, but closer, more honest relationships, and a life you actually want to live.
So, if someone's listening and they're feeling overwhelmed like they're living Sherry's story, what's one small step they could take to start building boundaries?
Start with just noticing those moments when you say yes, but wish you'd said no. Pay attention to your feelings, resentment, exhaustion, even anger. Those are signals that a boundary might be needed.
And maybe try practicing a tiny no in a low-stakes situation, just to see that the world doesn't end and, actually, you might feel a little lighter.
That's the beginning of reclaiming your yard, one small, brave step at a time.